You know, when you start a new job, right? And there's always that one system, or maybe that one dusty corner of the code base that everyone just intrinsically knows you do not touch on a Friday afternoon.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the classic, the Bob in accounting said so rule.
Right, exactly. It's never written down anywhere in the official employee handbook. There are no warning labels on it. It's atmospheric.
Yeah, human organizations run almost entirely on that kind of atmospheric knowledge. You just sort of absorb it by sitting in the room and listening to, the senior developers groan when a certain module gets mentioned.
Well, welcome to today's deep dive. We are digging into a really fascinating piece of writing today titled Contracts, Not Tribal Knowledge. And the mission for you listening is to uncover this massive fundamental shift that is required in how we build systems right now.
Right, because everything has changed recently.
Exactly. Because we've invited AI coding agents into our code bases. We're handing them the keys, letting them do all this heavy lifting, but we are completely forgetting that these highly capable assistants suffer from a really fatal flaw.
Yeah, they have absolute amnesia,
Absolute amnesia.
which completely breaks the atmospheric model of working, right? The whole foundation of this essay rests on understanding what we just called atmospheric knowledge. The author refers to it as tribal knowledge.
Tribal knowledge, right.
Yeah, it's all those unwritten rules, the implicit agreements, the little habits a human team just remembers. But the critical insight here is that relying on that tribal knowledge was a luxury.
A luxury that we took for granted.
Completely. It was a luxury subsidized entirely by human memory.
And human memory is incredibly expensive, but we just assume it's free because it happens in the background. We assume a developer remembers the context of the bug they fixed last month.
Right, but for an AI agent, if a rule isn't explicitly written down as a hard, unbreakable constraint in the code like, if it isn't something the machine can actually compile and verify, it simply does not exist.
It is just gone. Because an AI doesn't have a water cooler to chat at. It doesn't remember the mistake it made last Tuesday unless you manually paste that mistake right into its immediate context window.
And that limitation changes everything about software architecture. I mean, when a human developer looks at a piece of code, they see the code plus all that historical context they've absorbed over months or years.
Right. They see the ghosts of previous bugs.
Exactly. But when an AI agent looks at that same code, it sees only the literal text on the screen. It is hyper-focused, incredibly fast, and completely blind to anything outside its immediate field of vision.
Okay, let's unpack this because I want you listening to really visualize the exact moment this theoretical amnesia turns into a practical hair on fire disaster.
The essay has a great example for this.
Yeah, this brilliant example of a seemingly harmless string of text. It's just a little event label that says user.updated.
Just a standard string.
Right. When a user updates their profile, the system fires off a message that says user.updated, so other parts of the system know to react.
It is the kind of event string you see, honestly, thousands of times in a typical microservices architecture. One part of your system produces the event, and another part consumes it.
So imagine you tell your AI agent, hey, can you update the user object to use a nested profile? And the agent says, sure.
It's very eager to help.
Super eager. It dives into the code. It changes the user object. It updates that user.updated string to match its shiny new logic. And then it runs the automated tests.
The tests in that specific repository, importantly.
Right. Good point. And the producer's tests pass with flying colors. The agent reads its own work, sees beautiful, clean code, and happily reports that the task was successful.
Job well done, right?
Or so it thinks. But meanwhile, over in a completely different repository, maybe managed by a totally different team on the other side of the company, there is a consumer service.
Just waiting.
Just sitting there, waiting for that exact string, user.updated, and the old shape of the data. And because the agent changed it, that consumer service silently breaks. It just completely stops working.
It's terrifying because relying on an AI agent without strict boundaries is literally like leaving an unwritten instruction for a coworker whose memory gets completely wiped every single time they sit at their desk.
Every single time.
What's fascinating here is that the agent didn't actually fail the task it was given.
Wait, really? You'd say it didn't fail.
Well, think about it. It did exactly what it was asked to do. It saw a string, it changed it to make the code better, it saw green check marks on the tests it had access to. The tragedy is that the contract it broke was completely invisible.
Invisible contracts. Wow.
Yeah, that is the root of the problem we're facing in this new agentic era. Two distinct systems agreed on a string, but the agreement lived nowhere except in the heads of the humans who originally built it.
So to a machine, an implicit agreement is not an agreement at all.
Exactly. The only contract that exists is the one written down and enforced in code. The agent isn't being malicious here. It is just structurally blind to anything that isn't defined as a hard boundary.
Okay, so since these implicit agreements cause these silent, catastrophic failures across different systems, we essentially have to completely redefine what a boundary or an agreement actually is.
I really do.
And the essay gives a one-sentence rule for this, which I'm going to read directly because it sets up the rest of our discussion perfectly. It says, if another module, process, user, CLI, or agent depends on it, it is a contract.
That casts a massive net. I mean, much broader than most developers instinctively think about when they hear the word contract.
Yeah, the author specifically calls out what they refer to as stringly typed landmines.
Stringly typed, yeah, I love that phrase.
It's so good. These are things we just leave as raw text floating around in our files. So route paths, API shapes, local storage keys, event names, feature flag keys, even the little data tested tags.
Oh, a data tested is a perfect example to linger on, actually. For anyone who hasn't used them, that's just a tiny string attached to a button in the code so that an automated testing tool can find the button and click it during a test.
But wait, let me push back on this for a second.
Sure, go ahead.
Because I can hear some of our more experienced listeners bristling at this idea. Adding 50 lines of boilerplate to define every single tiny string feels like a massive step backward for developer velocity.
It does feel slow, yeah.
Like, if I have a local storage key called user theme, and I just copy and paste that raw string twice in my file, are you telling me I need to create a whole official constant variable for it? Isn't this just wildly pedantic?
So it feels incredibly pedantic right up until the exact moment it brings down a production environment.
Fair point, fair point.
The essay directly addresses that exact frustration. When a raw string appears twice in your code, you might think it's just a bit of harmless duplication to clean up later. But in an agentic workflow, that is a missing contract. The second occurrence of that string is a bug just waiting to happen.
Because the AI has literally no way of knowing those two raw strings are mathematically linked.
Right. The AI sees two isolated islands of text. If it decides to optimize or rename one of them, it won't inherently know to change the other unless they point back to the exact same source of truth.
Okay, that makes sense.
But if we connect this to the bigger picture, the author points out a massive side benefit to making this structural change. Turning these raw strings into importable constants actually kills a huge class of AI hallucinations.
Wait, I want to dig into that. How does defining a constant kill a hallucination? Because AI models hallucinate because they are probabilistic, right? They are just sort of guessing the next most likely token.
That probabilistic guessing is exactly what we need to defend against here. Agents, honestly just like humans, will sometimes invent plausible-looking string keys when they can't find the real one.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So if the AI sees a pattern, it might guess that a key should be named user theme preference instead of just user theme.
And if the system accepts raw strings, the code will just compile totally fine with that hallucinated guess, and then it'll fail silently when a user tries to actually load their theme.
Exactly. But if the real key is defined as a constant, and that constant is the only importable symbol allowed in the code base, you completely remove the AI's ability to guess.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it can't hallucinate a typo, because if it tries to use an unimported string, the compiler instantly throws a hard error.
You're basically forcing the agent to look up the exact address in the official directory, rather than letting it wander the streets hoping to find a house that looked vaguely correct.
That's a great way to put it. By doing that, you move the boundary out of human memory, out of the agent's limited context window, and into the hard architecture of the repository. The compiler becomes the enforcer.
Okay, so if raw strings are ticking landmines, then strict typing must be the holy grail, right?
You'd think so.
Like, if I just sprinkle TypeScript everywhere and strictly type all my data, the AI can't predict anything. Problem solved.
Yeah, you would think so. But that assumption actually creates a very dangerous false sense of security.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the essay highlights a specific trap that developers fall into with AI agents, and it's centered around a concept called parse, don't cast.
The danger of typecasting. I want to make sure everyone listening understands the mechanism here. So imagine you are grabbing data from the outside world, like an external API, and you just tell your TypeScript code, hey, trust me, treat this incoming data as an invoice.
Right, you just slap a label on it.
Exactly. But the fatal flaw in that approach is that at runtime, when the application is actually running on a server, TypeScript doesn't exist.
It's completely erased during the build process.
Yeah, it's totally gone. So that cast, where you told the code to treat the data as an invoice, it validates absolutely nothing when live data is flowing through the system.
Right, and here's where it gets really interesting.
Okay, lay it on me.
Think of it like, okay, imagine a nightclub.
A nightclub, all right.
You have a bouncer at the door, which is your compiler, and a random guy walks up from the street and hands the bouncer a piece of paper he scribbled himself that says, I am a VIP. That piece of paper is the typecast.
I see where you're going with this. The bouncer just looks at the piece of paper.
Right. The bouncer says, well, the paper says VIP, so go on in. The compiler lets the unverified data right into the club.
But the guy isn't actually a VIP. I mean, he might be carrying a sledgehammer. And the chaos doesn't happen at the door. It happens three rooms away in the VIP lounge, where everyone else is operating under the assumption that this guy has been properly vetted and background checked.
Yes. And by the time that unverified data crashes a critical function deep in the application, it is incredibly difficult to trace the corruption back to the front door.
It's a nightmare to debug.
Totally. And this is exactly how AI agents introduce silent corruption. An agent will actually default to slapping that fake VIP badge on the data because it is the path of least resistance.
Because the agent is just trying to satisfy the compiler and finish the task.
Exactly. It looks at the type signature types as invoice on the raw data and considers the job done.
It's just trying to turn the red squiggly lines in the editor into green check marks.
Right. The agent doesn't understand the semantic danger of bypassing validation. So the fix, the architectural rule the author lays out, is that external inputs, things like HTTP bodies, route parameters, webhooks, they require a runtime schema at the very edge of your system.
So you don't just label the data.
No, you actually parse it. You inspect every single field and validate its shape the exact millisecond it crosses the threshold.
Okay, so to fix the nightclub, the bouncer throws away the piece of paper, pulls out a central database, verifies the ID against real records, and only lets the guy in if he truly matches the profile of a VIP.
Exactly. The boundary is exactly where types stop being enough. You pass parsed domain values inward. Once the data is inside your system, trusted and validated, then you can rely on your types. But at the edge, you need a rigid, unbypassable checkpoint.
Unbypassable checkpoint. Okay, I love that. But wait, so even if our edge is perfectly secure and the bouncers are doing their jobs, what happens when the agent starts messing with the logic inside the club?
Ah, yes.
Because the application code itself can still be edited or deleted or, you know, optimized by an overzealous AI agent working on a totally different feature.
Which means we have to ask ourselves, where do we put the business rules that absolutely positively cannot be negotiated? If the application code is fluid and easily changed by an agent, we can't leave our most critical rules there.
So we have to move them deeper.
Much deeper.
Deep down the stack, all the way to the database, we push the invariance into the database.
And this represents a profound shift in how many teams are used to building software today.
Let's define what an invariant is for you listening, because the ESSIG is a really great example. An invariant is just a rule that must always remain true.
Right.
For example, a customer can have only one active subscription. Traditionally, you'd write a little check in your application logic for that. Like, when a user clicks subscribe, the app queries the database, sees if there's an active subscription, and if the answer is no, it creates one.
And for a human team, you mostly get away with that pattern because human developers understand the overarching business context. They know not to bypass the subscription check.
But what about an agent? Or even just the mechanics of the internet? Like, what about a concurrent retry?
Oh, concurrency is a killer.
Yeah. Imagine a user has a shaky internet connection and they double-click the subscribe button in frustration. Two requests hit your application at the exact same millisecond.
Both of those concurrent requests run your application level check at the same time. Request A asks, is there an active subscription? The database says no. At that exact millisecond, request B asks, is there an active subscription? The database still says no.
So both requests proceed, both create a subscription, and suddenly your invariant is broken. Your customer has two active subscriptions and gets double billed.
And then they're calling customer support angry. Now add an amnesiac AI agent to that mix.
Oh boy.
Maybe an agent deletes your application level validation check entirely because a downstream test was failing and the quickest way to fix the error was just to remove the check. If the invariant lives in the application code, it is vulnerable. Code is inherently fluid.
That totally flips traditional development on its head. I mean, we used to love keeping business logic in the application layer because it was flexible. We could change it quickly without dealing with messy database
Yeah,
migrations.
it was the best practice for a long time.
But now the author is arguing that we need to take our most critical rules and lock them in the basement where the AI can't accidentally optimize them away.
This raises an important question, though. How do we actually survive the chaos of concurrency, retries, and AI agents that might accidentally delete our logic?
Right, how do we?
By putting the invariant in the one structural component every single writer is forced to go through.
The database itself.
Exactly. You use non-null constraints, foreign keys, check constraints, unique partial indexes.
Let's look at a foreign key, for example.
Sure. If you define a foreign key relationship in your database, it physically will not allow you to create a record that references a non-existent user.
Right, it's impossible.
It doesn't matter if the AI writes a million lines of code trying to bypass it, the database engine acts as a concrete wall.
And a unique partial index would solve our double billing problem, right? The database physically prevents a second active subscription from being written to the disk, even if two requests hit it simultaneously. The database just throws a hard error.
Yep. The strongest contracts aren't application code at all. There are structural realities that cannot be routed around, whether it's a database constraint or, a specification that gets heavily linted in your continuous integration pipeline before code is even allowed to merge. You had to move the rule as close as possible to the layer that cannot be bypassed.
Okay, so what does this all mean? Let's zoom out for you, the listener, to the strategic why.
The big picture.
Exactly. Why is this migration from tribal atmospheric knowledge to these hyper-strict database-level contracts? Why is this the absolute highest leverage move you can make in the agentic era?
It all comes down to the concept of blast radius.
Blast radius? That sounds intense.
It is. Consider the difference between a mistake happening inside a heavily contracted boundary versus a mistake happening outside a contract. Inside a well-contracted boundary, a wrong change feels fast and it feels loud.
Ah, like the bouncer catches the fake ID immediately and throws the guy out before he even gets in the door.
Spot on. The schema rejects the bad data at the edge. The compiler refuses to build because of a typo in an imported constant. The database throws a hard error refusing the write. The damage is caught instantly before it ever ships to production.
That's the ideal scenario.
But outside a contract, without those hard boundaries, a wrong change is completely silent.
It type checks with a fake label, the agent's limited tests pass, and it looks completely done.
And the downstream effect of that silent failure is that it surfaces a week later as corrupted user data, or maybe a broken mobile app that nobody connected back to that one innocent-looking event string the agent renamed on a Friday.
The author makes a brilliant point here about how developers are currently trying to fix this too.
Oh, the markdown files.
Yes. We see teams writing these massive markdown files, like an agents.md file full of prose instructions telling the AI, hey, be really careful with the event strings. Please don't delete the subscription checks. Remember our business rules.
It's completely futile. Prose instructions in a markdown file are literally just tribal knowledge with extra steps.
Yeah, you're just handing the amnesiac worker a 50-page employee handbook that they will still completely forget the moment they start a new task. It doesn't solve the structural problem at all.
Contracts don't make the AI smarter. That is the vital takeaway we really need to emphasize here. Building these strict boundaries doesn't give the AI better reasoning skills or a broader memory. What contracts do is make the consequences of the AI's blind spots visible.
Visible failure versus invisible corruption.
Yes, visible failure is the only way an amnesiac high-speed worker can operate at scale without quietly wrecking an entire ecosystem.
Because the machine has to enforce the rule since the machine doesn't forget.
Exactly. We tolerated tribal knowledge for decades because human memory subsidized it, and we can rely on senior developers to catch the weird edge cases during a code review.
But that subsidy is gone. I mean, the speed at which AI agents write code means human reviewers just can't catch every implicit assumption anymore.
We can no longer afford the illusion that our systems are protected by human context. It's just not true anymore.
So, for you listening, whether you are actively managing a fleet of AI coding agents or you're just navigating a world that is becoming increasingly automated every single day, the lesson from this essay is incredibly clear. Unspoken agreements are liabilities.
Massive liabilities.
Invisible boundaries are bugs just waiting to happen.
Yeah.
From string landmines and fake ID typecasts to unbypassable database vaults, you have to write the contract down, give it a rigid test, and let the agent step on the landmines safely in the development environment so they don't go off in production.
It represents a radical shift from flexibility to rigidity, but it's a necessary evolution for survival in this new landscape.
And that brings up a really fascinating thought to leave you with today.
Well, let's hear it.
We are currently building these heavily rigid, strictly contracted, entirely locked down systems specifically to protect our code from amnesiac AI agents. We are putting up concrete walls everywhere just to ensure safety.
Right.
But what happens tomorrow? What happens when these hyper-rigid, heavily armored systems are asked to interact with each other in novel, unpredictable environments? Have we solved the AI bug problem only to create a digital world that is so completely locked down that it is fundamentally incapable of adapting?
Wow, that's a huge question.
It's something to think about the next time you rely on an unwritten rule. Until next time, thanks for taking the deep dive.